36 is our opening hymn of praise this morning. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. We'll stand together as we sing this opening hymn, please. Seek the Lord again, please, in a word of prayer. Let's ask for his help and his presence with us this morning. Let's pray. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come into thy presence today. We come, O God, to heal the one who is the King of all. We come, O God, to heal the one who came into this world. Lord, we thank thee today that he came. Lord, his deity was veiled in human flesh. And yet, O God, we thank thee that he is God, a very God, that he came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. Lord, he left the splendor and the glory of heaven. He left the adoration of the angels in order to come, Lord, to be born as a baby in Bethlehem's manger. And then, Lord, to live that life perfectly before God and men And then on the cross of Calvary to die for us. But, O God, we thank Thee today that as we come to Thee, we do not find Thee in a manger. We do not, Lord, find Thee on a cross or in a tomb. Lord, we thank Thee today that we come to the One who is on His throne, the One who is exalted, the One who is high above all and far above all. And Lord, we thank Thee today that we can come to Thee. We rejoice, O God, for the access that we have to Thee in prayer. And Heavenly Father, we praise Thee, Lord, for that new and living way, that way that has been opened up for us there at the place called Calvary. And O God, we come to Thee today because we need Thee. Lord, we are a needy people. O God, we thank Thee today, yet, Lord, You think upon us. We ask, O God, that for this service of worship this morning, Lord, that You will come and think upon us today for good. Lord, we pray that You'll breathe upon us. Lord, may we feel the touch of Thy presence today. O God, we pray that we'll hear, Lord, the sound of Thy voice today. O God, come, we pray. Lord, pour out Your Spirit, Lord, in a most remarkable and unusual way. And Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll fill this place with God the Holy Spirit. Lord, make this truly a Bethel to our souls. O God, we thank Thee for the goodness of God that finds us here, for the health and the strength, Lord, You've given to us, for journey and mercies, Lord, for every temporal and material blessing, Lord, that You've given to us, Lord, to be in the house of the Lord. And Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll even take of our thanks, Lord, for all that You've done for us. And Father, we pray that You'll remember every head bowed in Thy presence. O God, we pray that You would be pleased, Lord, to meet with us, Lord, as we would meet in Thy house today. Lord, as we would draw near to Thee, it is our prayer, Lord, that You would draw near to us today. Our Father, we pray that You'll remember those who cannot gather with us. Remember, Lord, today those who are unwell in the congregation. Lord, we pray that You'll draw very near to them, touch them in their bodies, we pray, and strengthen them, O God, we ask. And Heavenly Father, we pray today that very soon we'll see them once again back in the house of the Lord. Remember, Lord, those who are cold and careless about the things of God. Lord, those who have wandered from Thee. O God, we pray, do, Lord, a work within their hearts, we pray. Restore them. Bring, Lord, them back, Lord, to their first love, we ask. And Heavenly Father, we pray that You be pleased, Lord, just to restore, Lord, those years that the locusts have eaten. And Father, we pray that You'll remember us for good throughout this day. We thank the Lord for the word that has gone forth already to the little ones in the Sunday school. Lord, to the young people in the Bible class. Lord, speak on, we pray. Remember, Lord, over in Redburn this afternoon, bless there as the boys and girls would meet there for the Sunday school. Oh God, we pray that You'll be pleased to, Lord, speak to their young hearts and bring them to Thyself. We pray, Lord, for our family service tonight. We ask, O God, that You'll come and meet with us, Lord, in a very particular way. We ask, O God, that today You'll come and, Lord, presence Thyself with us. Lord, bless everything that would, Lord, take place in this house of worship this morning. And may it be to the glory and to the honor of Thy great name. And Father, we pray that You would be pleased to remember, Lord, those who, Lord, across our land and across our world tonight, today, who are afflicted because of their faith, being persecuted, Lord, because of their stand and their allegiance to the Savior. O God, we pray that You'll remember the persecuted church today. Lord, we pray that You'll blow upon, Lord, evil and wicked rulers. And Lord, we pray that even in the midst of tyranny, Lord, that You will be pleased to send a move of God the Holy Spirit. O God, we pray that You'll remember these islands of ours for good. We pray, Lord, that You'll be pleased to sweep across, Lord, these lands close to home, we pray. Lord, for England and for Scotland and for Wales, for our province, Lord, for down into the south of Ireland, Lord, for the Isle of Man, we just pray, come, O God, we pray, breathe upon us, we ask. Lord, we pray that in the midst of all of Thy wrath and judgment, remember Thy mercy. O God, we pray that You'll help us today, Lord, to see God at work. And so, our Father, we just pray that You will be pleased to aid us and help us in our worship of Thee, Lord, even as we come to the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to hear the voice of the Lord as we sing Thy praise. Help us, Lord, to glorify Thy great name. So hear and answer prayer. Continue with us now. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. I ask you please to turn with me in the Word of God this morning to Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel and the chapter 2. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. We're going to read from verse number 6, Luke's Gospel chapter 2, and the verse 6, reading down to the end of verse 18. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and the verse 6. This is the account, Luke's account, of the shepherds coming and being told about the birth of Christ, and then coming to the manger where he was. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and we'll read from verse number 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. Let me, at this stage, welcome you all along to our morning service. We're glad to see you in the house of the Lord today. And we pray the Lord will bless us and meet with us as we have gathered here in his house. Also to those who are watching online, we welcome you as well this morning. Today is Missionary Council, retiring offering, the second Lord's Day of the month is the Missionary Council offering in the box there in the hallway as you leave for your offerings for the Missionary Council. Also, I've been asked to announce that the missionary boxes are due in. So if you have a missionary box, if you could bring it in, please, to Richard as soon as possible. They'll be emptied and then returned back to you. 2:30 this afternoon, we have the Sunday School over in the Community Centre in Redburn. And then we come back again tonight for our family and friends night service here in the church at 6:30. Do remember, please, the season of prayer before that at 6 p.m. Come and join with us for that time of prayer. Tonight we have our sister Judith Beattie, coming along to sing. And also our brother Mark Williamson will be playing some instrumental pieces for us. And our brother pastor Dennis Lyle will be here to bring the word of God tonight. So we're looking forward to a good night and trust that you're able to join with us tonight. Let's see you all back again tonight for this special family service, Christmas family service, and there will be supper for everyone afterwards as well this evening. So please do make that known, and why not even this afternoon invite someone along to the family service tonight. Then on Tuesday night, that is the final Explorers Bible Club for this season, and they'll be having their Christmas party on Tuesday night at 6:30 up in the top room. So please do remember that. Now, because of the Christmas party on Tuesday night for the boys and girls, that'll be going on a little longer than normally would be the case. So the prayer meeting, the start of the prayer meeting on Tuesday night will be put back a little. So we're starting at 8:20. God willing, on Tuesday night, there or thereabouts. So please remember that. 8:20 on Tuesday night for the prayer meeting and Bible study. You can come at 8:00 if you want. That's no problem. But we'll not be starting until 8:20, just to allow things to get cleared up and also the workers to get back again and those on the bus to get back again for the prayer meeting. So prayer meeting on as normal on Tuesday night, but just starting a little later at around 8:20, God willing. Next Lord's Day, Sunday School and Bible Class, 10:15. And next Sunday morning at 11:30 is the first of our carol services. The children from the Sunday School will be taking part next Sunday morning. And And so I trust that you'll come and encourage them as they take part in the service next Sunday morning. And then another choral service for the Sunday school over in Redburn. And that will be starting a little earlier than normal at 2:15 next Sunday afternoon. Now, we encourage you to go and support the workers there, the teachers in Redburn, as they have this choral service. And it's starting a little earlier at 2:15 next Sunday afternoon. And then we have our choral service here in the church next Sunday night at 6:30. And various ones from the congregation will be taking part, testifying and Bible readings in that choral service. And also our brother Peter Mander will be here to sing, God willing, next Sunday. There will also be supper next Sunday night. But ladies, you don't have to bring anything. We're not asking any of the teams to do this. The church will provide all the foodstuffs. Just asking if some of the ladies could maybe help with the tea and whatever. If you could do that, that would be appreciated. So it'll be just mince pies and shortbread. It'll not be the usual spread that you're used to. But something simple, but just something to have after the choral service next Sunday night. I'd ask you just to remember a few folks who need our prayers. I want you to remember our brother Alvin, one of our dear elders in the congregation. Our brother Alvin will be commencing his treatment this coming Tuesday. And do remember Alvin as he commences treatment on Tuesday for the next number of weeks, every day. Pray the Lord will bless you, Alvin, and strengthen you and be with you as you go for this treatment. Also, we had asked you to remember in prayer little Jessica Knowles, Philip and Valentina's little daughter, who had been unwell during the week. We're glad to report that she is doing better, and we're thankful for the Lord's hand upon Jessica, and do remember her as she continues to recover at this time. I would also ask you to remember in your prayers one of our committee men in our Donaghadee Church. That's our brother Hugh Thompson. Hugh is going in tomorrow morning for cancer surgery. I'd ask you to remember Hugh, please, in your prayers as he goes for the surgery. Also, do remember Adam and the students. This is the final week of their exams, and they'll be partying after. Maybe I'm not allowed to say partying in relation to the Whitfield. But they'll be celebrating after the exams are finished on Friday. So do remember Adam, and do remember all the students, that even over these next number of weeks that they'll have a good rest from all the studies. In relation to all the parties, thank you for everyone who helped with the parties thus far. It just seems that it's one party after the other, but sure, that's what it's all about at Christmas time. To the folks who helped on Friday night, for the young people, we really appreciate it. All who came, we had a good night. And also for the Sunday school parties yesterday, again, our thanks to everyone for your help in that. These are all the announcements to remember. The offering boxes are available there as you leave on your way out for your tithes and your offerings. We're going to sing another carol at this stage. Now, this is not one that's in your hymn book. It's one that we learned last year, and hopefully you still remember it. Sing we the song of Emmanuel, this the Christ who was long foretold, lo, in the shadows of Bethlehem, promise of dawn, now our eyes behold. So we'll sing this one, and maybe Gillian, you just maybe play through the tune of it, just to remind us, please. Thank you. There are still a number of copies of Paul's book on the Psalms available. If you didn't get one, there's still a number available. They're £5, and all the proceeds will go to the precious orphanage in Nepal. So take one with you, or others, take as many as you want with you. The plate is there. You can put your money into as you leave. And also, I don't know if there's any of these left. There's one, at least. Brother Sam Houston's DVD, priced £10, so take one with you and you can pay it again. And also the LTBS calendars for next year, 50th anniversary, they're priced £5. We're turning back again to Luke's Gospel, please, to chapter 2. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. I want us to consider the subject this morning of who is he in yonder stall, of course, taking the words of that well-known carol that we'll sing at the end of the service. Who is he in yonder stall? With the word of God open before us, let's just seek his help, please, in a word of prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we thank thee again for the word of God. We thank the Lord that we can come, Lord, to thy word. We can hear thy voice. Lord, we pray that even today, Lord, as we come around the word of God, as we consider the one who was born in that stall in Bethlehem. Oh God, we pray, Lord, that our hearts will be blessed. Lord, that our eyes will be opened. Lord, that we'll behold the one who was born to be our Savior. Oh God, we pray that you'll help us today. Lord, glorify thy name, even through the preaching of thy word today. Speak to the lost. Bring, Lord, those who are still out of Christ to thyself. And Lord, we pray that you'll glorify thy name and build up the people of God. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. It was the wise men, as you will know, who came to King Herod. And they were inquiring as to where the new king was born. You will know the story, how that they had seen his new star in the east. And they wanted to know where was this king born. They went, first of all, to Herod. But that took Herod by surprise because he wasn't aware of a king being born. And you'll know how that King Herod was enraged that another king was born while he was still on the throne. However, as the wise men wanted to go to see this new king, so too did the shepherds, as we read in our passage in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. You see, they all wanted to find this child in the manger. And as we read at the end of our reading in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, the shepherds found him. The wise men found him as well, although it was a little later on. But this morning, as we come to consider this passage of Scripture, I want us not just to consider the child in the manger. I want us to consider the character of that child. Yes, they came and they found the little child, the babe, lying in the manger. But I want us to ask the question, as Benjamin Hamby, the author of that hymn, asked that question to, who is he in yonder stall? At whose feet the shepherds fall? Who is he? Because you see, folks, whenever we have that right and proper understanding of who this child is, it'll change your whole outlook on Christmas. It'll change our whole outlook on life, our whole outlook on our walk with God. It'll change us. It'll affect us. It changed the shepherds. It changed the wise men. They fell down and they worshipped him. You see, it's so easy, and we're all guilty of it, of getting caught up with all the trappings and all the celebrations, that we forget the real purpose of who it is that was born in Bethlehem's manger. The reality is today that if the Lord had not taken upon himself the human form and become man in the incarnation and be born into this world, the gospel message, the word of God, would be null and void. There'd be no hope for this world. If Christ had not come into this world, if he had not been born as that babe in Bethlehem's manger, And you see, folks, the beauty and the splendor of Christ's incarnation must never be overlooked, but neither must it be minimized. Because it is of that fact that Christ was born in a manger. Because of that reality, that historical fact, that we have a message of hope today, a message of darkness, and a message of great forgiveness. You see, there are many today, and most of all amongst those who would say they're Christians, and they just want us to focus on the manger and the little child, and they want us to see him as helpless, and as he was helpless, but they want us not to look past that fact. You see, let's take, for example, the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church. They'll just want you to focus on a weak, helpless little child in a manger, and then they'll want you to focus on a weak, helpless individual on the cross and consider, well, there's nothing that this man can do for you. And they will, of course, then point you to Mary and point you to church tradition. But this morning, as we approach this Christmas season, I want us to come and to see exactly who it is that was born in Bethlehem's manger. Who is it that was in yonder stall, at whose feet the shepherds fall? And so let's come on a journey today. Let's come with the eye of faith and take the journey that the wise men took and the shepherds took. As the shepherds, they left their fields and they traveled into the city of Bethlehem, the house of bread. And they find a place where the little child is born, and they make their way through the crowds, and they're led to that place where Christ is born. And they look into that manger. And there they see a child lying. They fall down and worship him. Why? Because the one that was born that day is the Lord God Almighty. Let's see today what the shepherds saw. As they saw the child in the manger, but what did they see? Or who did they see? Who is he in yonder stall? Let's see who this child in the manger is today. Who is he in yonder stall? First of all, he is our Maker. He is our Maker. You see, as the shepherds came to see Jesus that night, as they looked upon the little infant in the manger, they were looking upon their Maker and their Creator. They were looking upon the one who had created this world, who had created all things. The little one in the manger had a unique birth, but he also had a unique beauty because he is and was the Creator of all things. You see, looking into the face of that little one in the manger, they were looking into the face of death, as we'll see. They were looking upon the lips of the one who spoke this world into its existence. They were not looking upon a created being. They were looking on the Creator, their Maker. The Word of God opens with that wonderful foundational and fundamental truth that we must never lose sight of. That in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you see, the one in the manger is our Maker. He is our Creator. At this time of the year, we remember and we celebrate the time when the eternal Creator entered his creation. When the one who stretched forth the heavens and the earth was led beneath the heavens. The one who spread out the earth upon the waters came into this earth that he had created. What happened at the incarnation is that the Creator entered his creation in visible bodily form. Let's think about that. Who's he in yonder stall? He's our maker. He's our maker because of his deity. His deity. Turn over just a few books to John's Gospel, chapter 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1, and in the opening verses of this chapter, we have those magnificent words, that tremendous passage of Scripture. Look at verse 1, John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is the Word? Well, John here in this passage introduces Christ as the Word of God, the Logos. He states here that Christ is the Word. And when we think about the Word, we think about something that's spoken, something that is written. But John here introduces Christ as the person of the Word of God. You see, in the Old Testament, the word Word is often connected with some sort of intermediate agency or channel as to how the Word was brought. Brought through the prophets. Brought through revelations. But how did God ultimately bring his word to mankind? It was through the divine word who became the incarnate word who is God, who is Christ. In Hebrews chapter 1, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days has spoken unto us, how? By his Son. So he's revealed here as the Word, but notice who this Word is. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. There's the deity of the divine Word who became the incarnate Word. His deity is affirmed. He is God. That little child in the manger, the one who is our maker, the one who is our creator, is God. That truth must never be overlooked. Down through the passage of history and the passage of time, there have been those who have sought to dilute and to deny the deity of Christ. Oh, it's just a lovely little story that we can tell everybody. A little baby being born in Bethlehem. That little child born in Bethlehem was God Almighty. There is and there was a school of thought, it's still about today, called Arianism. And they'll tell you that Jesus was a form of God, but that he was inferior to the Father. A J.W. or a Mormon comes to their door, they're Arians, they're heretics, because they will deny that Jesus Christ was God. The Word was with God, and the Word, the divine Logos, who is Christ, was God. In fact, you read on in verse 14 of John chapter 1, and the Word was made flesh. There's the incarnation. There's Christ coming into this world and dwelt amongst us. The Word being made flesh. So God became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, in that little one in the manger. Child in the manger is God. And this underpins then that he is our maker. There's his deity. But also there is his eternality. Let me say and repeat something that I have already mentioned. Jesus Christ, the babe who was born in Bethlehem, the little child that the shepherds came to see and the wise men came a little later on to view, he was not a created being. Jesus Christ is the Creator. He was not created. He is, as God is, eternal from everlasting to everlasting. Notice again in John 1 and the verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. Now you strip that verse away. You strip that down to its original form. And take out your concordance, take out your lexicon. And you'll see that in the original, it means that before the beginning. And the beginning there is the reference to time. The start of creation, when time began. But before that, Christ was. He didn't have a beginning in Bethlehem. It was the start of his earthly life, yes. But it was not the start of him. He is from everlasting to everlasting God. You see, John is teaching us here that that child in the manger, the one that the shepherds came to view, had an existence before the world began because he is God. He always has been. He always will be. He took upon himself a human flesh and nature at a point in time, but before that point in time, he existed. We started our existence at the time of our conception. But Christ has always been. He is the eternal God. And so as the shepherds came to view that little child, they were looking on the face of the one who was their maker because of his deity, he is God, because of his eternality, because he has always been God. But also because of his humility. Hymn writer says, out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe. Only his great eternal love made my Savior go. That hymn, maybe we'll sing it sometime before Christmas. We sang it before, down from his glory. Down from his glory. Ever living story. My God and Savior came, and Jesus was his name, born in a manger. To his own a stranger, a man of sorrows, tears, and agony. Down from his glory. The Creator God, the eternal God, humbled himself, became man. The Apostle Paul, writing in Philippians 2, talking about the humiliation of Christ, verse 7, he says, he made himself of no reputation. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. There's his humility. Now, Lord Jesus Christ, contrary to what some carols say, we don't tell lies, but sometimes we sing lies, did not lay aside his glory. When he came into this earth, he was still God. He was not an inferior reflection of God in this earth. He was not something someone less in earth as he was in heaven. He is as much God on earth as he was in heaven. That little child who lay in the manger, born in humility, born, as we'll see, to be our Savior, became dependent upon his creation. Think about it. Think about it. The Creator God in that child, in that manger, was dependent upon his creation, Mary and Joseph. What humility! Humility in his birth, no room for him, as we read in Luke chapter 2. the one who had the wonder of the adoring angels, the one who was worshipped. And yet there was nowhere for him in Bethlehem that night. Humility in his birth, humility in his life, he was rejected. Humility in his death, the shame, the pain, the Lord of glory dying, the death of a criminal and a convict. John MacArthur, in one of his books, puts it like this, that those soft little hands fashioned by the Holy Spirit in Mary's womb were made so that nails might be driven through them. Those tiny little feet, pink and unable to walk, would one day walk up a dusty hill to be nailed to a rugged cross. What humility. Who is he in yonder stall? He's our maker. He's our creator. He is God, always was God, and yet he humbled himself to become man. Who is he in yonder stall? Who was it that the shepherds and the wise men that they looked upon? They looked upon their maker. Not only is he our maker, but I want us to see as well that he is our monarch. Our monarch. We go back to the account of the wise men. They knew that a new king had been born. They saw his star. They knew it was no ordinary star. They knew that this was something different. And the commentators would suggest that the wise men knew that there was something different about this star. And because of that, they knew the scriptures. Because back in the Old Testament, Numbers 24, verse 17, it says, "There shall come a star out of Jacob, a star that will be different." Now, I'm not much into stargazing or anything to do with that. That really blows my mind. I'm very simple and plain. But apparently this was just not any star that you would see in the sky at night. This was something really different. This solar wonder was a special revelation of God to these wise men, perhaps only known to them, because remember, Herod didn't see the star, or if he did see it, he didn't understand what it was about. But they knew that that time a king was born, and they wanted to come to worship the newborn king. But I want us to go back, and just as we said that Christ, as he was born in the manger in Bethlehem, because he had no existence or no previous existence or just the existence at the Bethlehem, neither did he have the start of his kingship in Bethlehem either. Now, I know this is where people will disagree with me on. That's fair enough. We talk about the newborn king. But that little child in the manger was always king. Always king. In Micah chapter 5, in the verse 2, we read that thou Bethlehem Ephratah, thou shalt be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is born to be a ruler in Israel. Ruler there is the king. But here's the clue, and here's the key. Whose going forth have been of old from everlasting. Jesus Christ, when he was born in Bethlehem, didn't start to be king just simply in the manger. He has always been king. Always will be king. He was king before he was born. He was king in the manger at his birth. He is king after his birth. Because you see, his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, just as he is everlasting. You might say, why is this all important? This is all important because if we're just depending, if our faith is just depending on some mortal man who had some existence just at Bethlehem and not before Bethlehem, if our faith is dependent on someone who is a king just for a little time, then we don't really have a faith at all. Christ was born in Bethlehem, yes, the newborn king, but he was already king. Before his birth, at his birth, and after his birth. And let me say something more. He's not coming to establish his kingdom at some future date either. He's not going to be king at some point up ahead in future. He is already king. He's the sovereign king. He is the king of the kingdom of this world, but more especially, he is the king of the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of his people right now, right now. He is king of my life now. Now. He's not coming to establish a kingdom. He is king over his kingdom. The incarnation of Christ in Bethlehem didn't commence his kingship. Because in the eternal counsels of God, the Son of God was appointed as king over his kingdom from all eternity to all eternity. Yes, when he came into this world as that child in the manger, as he became the God-man, as he took our nature into union with his deity, it marked a new revelation of his kingship. But it didn't mark the commencement of it. I cannot accept that somehow Christ is some sort of king in waiting. Prince Charles was a king in waiting. For over 70 years he waited to be king. He had to wait, obviously, until the passing, the death of his late mother, late Queen Elizabeth. And he became king on the 8th of September this year. And he'll have his coronation next year in the will of the Lord in May. He was a king in waiting. But that's not how it works in the eternal kingship of Christ. He is not a king in waiting. He's not coming to establish his kingdom because his kingdom has already been established. Because it's been from all eternity. And that little child in the manger, the one to whom the shepherds came, who is he in yonder stall? He is the king of all ages. King of all glory. Who is he in yonder stall? He's our maker. He is our monarch, but he is also our Messiah. You come back to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, in the verse 11. And hear the words that the shepherds heard that night from the lips of the angels. Luke's Gospel 2, verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Christ is the promised Messiah. The Jews still look for a Messiah. They still look for him. They deny that Christ, the one who came into this world, is the Messiah, the one promised from all eternity. They still look for him and they reject the Savior who came. But You see, when the shepherds went to see the child in the manger that day, they saw the Savior. They saw the Messiah had come. The one who came to bring hope. The one who was anointed and the one who was appointed. Messiah means anointed one. And you take the word Messiah, you bring it into our English language by transliteration. It brings us to the word Christ. Because Christ is the Messiah. Christ is the anointed one. Christ is the appointed one. The one who was appointed in eternal ages past to be our Savior, to be our Deliverer, to be our Redeemer. He was promised through the Old Testament. Isaiah says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me." Now it's a reference there to the ministers of Christ, and it's used in the New Testament as well. But who is the ultimate minister of Christ? It's not some boy with a dog collar around his neck. It's Jesus Christ himself. He is the greatest minister. He is the minister. The one who has been anointed. What to do? To preach. That's what he came to do. There's also the promise of Messiah. There's the person of the Messiah. In John chapter 4, we have the account of the woman at the well. And she meets the Savior. And she's obviously a woman who knew about Messiah, who knew about the Savior coming into the world, but she didn't actually realize that she was speaking to the Messiah. She didn't realize that she was speaking to her Savior. And in verse 25, John's Gospel chapter 4, and the verse 25, the woman saith unto him, that is unto Christ, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, when he is come, he will tell us all things. She, like all the others, were still looking for the Messiah. But look what the Savior said. Verse 26, John 4, verse 26. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. In other words, that Savior that you're looking for, that Messiah that you're looking for, I'm he. I'm your Savior. I'm your Redeemer. All over in John's Gospel, John says that these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, again the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Jesus Christ is the Messiah, promised from long, long ago. The one who came in the incarnation. It's a wonderful study, actually, to look at why Jesus came. But the greatest reason as to why Jesus came into this world, yes, he had to become man. But the greatest reason he came into this world to be our Savior. That was his purpose. That's why there was a Bethlehem. That's why there was a Calvary. Jesus Christ came to be our Savior. Because there is no other Savior. There is no other way that we or anybody could be saved but through Jesus Christ. We're all saved the one way, from Genesis through to the end of all ages, only saved through Christ. The shepherds were told, the Messiah has come. The Savior has been born. Hope has come into this world. And they went to view him. They came with haste, and we read in back in Luke's Gospel chapter 2, and the verse 16, they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. They found the Savior. They found the Messiah. The hope of all ages. Do you know the greatest thing you could ever find this year is Jesus Christ as your Savior? The greatest event in your life will be that time when you come to a saving personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. They found their only hope. They found the only Redeemer, the only Savior. They found Him there in the manger. Oh, that you would find Jesus today. Oh, that you would find Christ today. Oh, that you would be saved. But you see, having found the Savior, what did they do? They published Him. Verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They found the Savior, then they went and told others about the Savior. They published the news about the Messiah. And folks, what an opportunity is given to us at this Christmas season. And that's why we have these special Christmas services. That's an opportunity for us to tell others about Jesus Christ, the Savior, who came into this world. To tell men and women that in a time of hopelessness and a time of darkness, that there's hope, that there's light. And it's found alone in Christ. They found the Savior and they wanted others to find Him too. The greatest need of their lives was found in Christ. You remember we read in the opening parts of Luke chapter 2 how that they were filled with fear, filled with dread. But when they found the Savior, they were filled with peace. That's what happens when a sinner comes to Christ. They find peace. We live in a world, we live in a city, we live in communities where hearts are filled with fear and dread, particularly at this Christmas season. Oh, that they would find the Savior. Oh, that they'd get to the manger and see the one who's lying there, the one who is our Maker, the one who is our Monarch, and the one who is our Messiah. The one who went from Bethlehem's manger to Calvary's cross to purchase eternal redemption for us. Oh, that today you and this world would see that all we need is found in Him. In Him, there is everything we need. He will give us purpose. He will bring peace. He will pardon our sin. Why? Because He is our Maker, He is God. Because He is our Monarch, He is our King. And because He is our Messiah. Never become so filled and so taken up with all that goes on at this time of the year that we forget as to why He came. He came to be our Savior. He came to redeem from sin. That's why He was born. He was born to die. Who is He in yonder stall? At whose feet the shepherds fall, 'tis the Lord. 'Tis the Lord. He's our Maker. He's our Monarch. He's our Messiah. Is He your Savior today? Do you know Him today? Oh, that today you'd come and receive Him by faith. And see one who loved you so much that He came into this world, humbled Himself. Took upon Himself the form of man, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.